Today's episode is going to be really hands-on and tactical, so I hope you're ready for it. You may want to take some notes, actually. We are going to be talking about calorie tracking. This is part two of my calorie tracking series, and how to track your calories effectively so that calorie tracking works for you. There's a little bit of nuance to it, and you have to do some things correctly for it to work. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. Hi there. Welcome to the Effective Fitness for Women podcast, your go-to guide for practical weightlifting and nutrition tips. I'm Rachel, a wife, mom of six, registered dietitian, and passionate weightlifter. This podcast is for the woman who is tired of not knowing what to do in the gym, frustrated with trying to eat right, but not sure what eating right actually is, and just wants to start seeing some results. If that's you, then you're in the right place. This podcast is all about teaching you what you need to do in the gym and the kitchen to lose fat, gain muscle, and be the strongest you've ever been. Are you ready? Let's go. All right. So before we get into today's episode, really quick, I just want to say, you know, if you are frustrated with your eating habits, you're trying to do the right thing to lose fat, but you're just confused about what to eat, what to do in the gym, trying all these random internet diets and workouts, but you're still spinning your wheels and not getting results. Can we just stop all that? It's time to stop feeling frustrated and confused when it comes to your fitness. I remember being in that exact spot. Ugh, it was awful. But when I learned how to fuel my goals and lift in a way that has consistently gotten me results without spending hours at the gym, it changed everything. So if you want to know how I did that, you can start by booking a discovery call to find out more about coaching with me, and I will help you figure this out. So on to today's topic. We are going to be really hands-on today and talking about calorie tracking. At the end of today's episode, you will be able to know how to track your calories accurately in a way that actually works. So let's get into it. Now, calorie tracking, I guess when you talk to people about calorie tracking, they think, okay, well, you just open an app, look up some foods and log it, right? I wish it was that easy. I'm going to break this down into two parts. So there's measuring, and then there's also food accuracy. So first, let's talk about measuring. If you are going to be tracking your calories, you need to measure your food. There is no eyeballing it, okay? The only exception with this would be non-starchy vegetables. So like broccoli, salad, like not the dressing and the toppings on the salad, just like the literal lettuce. Green beans. Gosh, why can't I think of a vegetable right now? I'm a dietitian. I should like have them coming out of my ears all the time. So non-starchy vegetables, basically. Spinach, kale, okra. I'm thinking of the stuff I'm growing in my garden right now. Cucumbers, all those types of things. Squashes. There we go. So non-starchy vegetables. I will eyeball those. Just the vegetable part of it. Okay. I don't measure them because it's kind of hard to blow your entire calorie budget with veggies, assuming that there's no extra butter and oil and bacon or stuff added to it. Understand? But everything else needs to be measured. So how do we measure? Well, we use either measuring cups or a food scale. So don't be scared of a food scale. I use a food scale all the time. It is so much faster than using measuring cups, especially baking wise. Oh my gosh, so much faster. Why do we have all the, I still don't understand why America uses measuring cups. All the other countries use a food scale and they measure things in grams. And that's what I do for my baking. I've mentioned before, I have a home bakery that I bake cakes and French macarons and things like that for. And all of that stuff is in grams, and it's so much more efficient. Y'all know I am totally about efficiency. So I measure my food using a food scale. I just have a cheap, I mean, I think it was $10 on Amazon, food scale that does grams and ounces. And I put my plate on there, and I, you know, put my food on there if it's something that is typically measured in grams or ounces, like meat. All right, let me back up though. So I have three steps for measuring accurately. I would suggest you take notes. So the first thing you're going to do, you're going to download your app, right? I'm assuming you have an app. My favorite app is MyFitnessPal, but there's lots out there. So you download the app, and then the first step is to open the app first before you make your plate. So why do we do this? Why do that first? Because you are setting your intention. I plan to put X amount of this on the plate, X amount of this on the plate, and X amount of this on the plate. Not I measured, or I put a bunch of junk on the plate, and now I'm seeing this was too much for my calorie budget for this meal, and now I have to take stuff off. Because do we really take stuff off our plate? I don't. So figure out what you're going to be putting on your plate in the app first. And y'all, this gets easier over time. Like I talked about in the last episode, there is a little bit of a learning curve, but it gets easier over time. And if you tell me there's no way I have time to track my calories, then I hope that you don't do any social media at all, right? It's all about priorities. Do you really not have time? Really? So just food for thought. I'm not telling anybody to not get on Instagram. I'm just saying if you have time for Instagram, you have time for tracking your calories, if that's your barrier, right? Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now. All right, so the first step is to open the app first before you make your plate. The next step is you search for your food in the app and you log the foods into your meals. The third step is to measure your food onto your plate using a food scale or the cup measures and the amounts that you logged. And make sure that you include all the food. This includes toppings, cooking oil, salad dressings, etc. Okay, so this does mean that if you are cooking something and you put oil in the pan, you need to know how much oil you added to the pan. This is why what I do is you can use like a cooking spray if you want, or I will put a teaspoon of olive oil in the bottom of the pan, and then I'll take a paper towel and I'll rub it all over the surface so that it's literally providing a nonstick slight film and it's not adding calories to it, okay? So just enough to make it not stick to the pan. Or just measure it out. If you use a tablespoon of oil, then log a tablespoon of oil. So you need to make sure you include all the food that you are eating. So salad dressings, if you added croutons, if you added mayonnaise to your sandwich, all of that. So it seems like it's a lot, but as you practice, you get faster at it and you start to be able to really, okay, this is what I'm doing, and it gets super, super quick. And you will measure your food using the food scale or the cup measure. So for example, if you're having chicken and rice and zucchini, that was just a quick example I came up with, you would measure your chicken on your plate on the food scale, however many ounces. Make sure you search, if you are using cooked chicken, for example, you cooked chicken thighs and you are measuring them cooked, make sure that you find in the app cooked chicken thighs, okay? Because the raw weight is going to be different than the cooked weight, right? So you put your chicken thigh on there and it measures to be 3.5 ounces and you log that, right? You weigh it out, you decide, okay, well, I'm having three 3.5 ounces of chicken, you weigh it out on there and you cut out whatever, if it was over or under. I know I'm not like, within an ounce is fine for me. I'm not over here like to the point, like I did 3.5 6 ounces of chicken instead of 3.5. Like I don't split hairs like that. But it does need to be within an ounce, right? And then if you're having rice with it, you can find that in grams or ounces. Or I typically, for things like rice and pasta, in the app is usually listed in cooked cup measure amounts. And so like half a cup. So I would do that. I find it through like 1 cup of cooked pasta, for example. I put that on my plate and then I add my veggies. And that way I know the amounts that I'm doing. The point here is that we're not eyeballing it. Okay, because even dietitians, they have found, will underestimate the amount they're eating. And I think the study they did was like by 40%. Even dietitians, and we're the trained professionals at this, right? It's very easy to underestimate how much you're eating. And then the next piece of this is food accuracy. So this is the thing that a lot of people don't really talk about. And it has a huge impact. So let's get into this. I wish that I could tell you that all apps and all food databases are created equally, but they're not. So here's the deal. Many apps allow users to create foods into the database, which is really nice because you can create a recipe based on something you have in a cookbook or a food that isn't in the database. But sometimes people don't do it accurately. Okay. For example, if I were to search for ice cream sundae, I would get so many different options in pop up for me. They could range anywhere from like 120 calories to 600 calories. That's a giant range, a lot of variability. Now, some of the apps like MyFitnessPal, they have a check that you can select in the app to show verified foods. This just means that the app verified that the food was accurate. And so you can, that's an improvement, right? You can use that. However, some items will be correct and they just haven't been verified by the app yet. So how do we get around this? The steps for accuracy. The first thing is to search by brand. If you're eating something that is from a specific restaurant, for example, or it is prepackaged, search for the brand. So in our ice cream sundae example, instead of searching ice cream sundae and you know you went to Freddy's, we have a Freddy's down here. Hopefully y'all know what that is. It's like shakes and burgers and fries. Anyway, so instead of searching ice cream sundae, you search Freddy's Brownie Delight Sundae Large because that is what you ordered instead of simply ice cream sundae. So you see what the app pulls up. So when I do that, I just did that really quick. And I pull up for large, 1600 calories, and there's also one for, okay, so there's a 1624 and then there's a 1690 on there for the large. So this tells me that because there were two and they were the same size, they both said large, and they're fairly close in calories, that is more likely to be accurate. As opposed to like if I just picked, well, let me pick the one from the search ice cream sundae and I pick the one that says 120 calories. Well, is that going to be accurate? No. You don't know anything about that ice cream sundae in, you know, that the person put in there. So search by brand. Okay. And then the second step is to go for similar options. If you see them, search for something and there's several choices that are the same or similar, it's a sign that it's more accurate. If there's an outlier that's way lower than the rest, the chances are that it's not accurate. So the third step is to double check with a label. If you are searching for something packaged that you have in your home, give a glance at the label to be sure that you are finding the right item. So this involves knowing how to read a food label. If you don't know how to read a food label, just get on Google and Google how to read a food label. I promise there's loads of videos on how to do that. The important thing is you need to look at the total number of servings that you are eating of the food. And then that is what, because all that calorie information only pertains to one serving. Does that make sense? So that's the third step, is to double check things with a label. And this way, you are training your brain to remember some of these things. So you sort of learn this instinct of, okay, this is the better choice for me than this. And that's helpful, right? Especially if you're in a season of fat loss, which is what I'm assuming right now, because we're talking about this, I'm assuming you're in a season of fat loss. You still can do this calorie tracking during a season of muscle gain, which is, I do this during a season of muscle gain myself, because I want to make sure that I'm hitting my calories. I don't want to be going under, right? Because my goal is to gain muscle. So it can be useful for that. So let's recap really quick. So the first piece of this is measuring accurately. So we make sure that we are actually weighing our food out or measuring out with cup measures, and including all the food. Then the next step is the accuracy piece. So making sure that you're searching items by brand and by seeing if there's similar options, and then double checking with a label. So that is how we track our calories accurately. Let me really quick give you some tips on how to make food tracking easier, simpler. So in my Fitness Pal, which is the one I'm talking about today, I don't know if the other apps are like this, but you can create meals. So that's the first tip. If you eat something regularly, like for me, I have a few things that I cycle through for lunch and breakfast, like two breakfast options and two lunch options that I just like and I eat a lot of. And so you can create a meal in the app to where, instead of having to search each individual item, for example, a salmon burger, half a cup of black beans, two zucchini. That's one of my meals. And instead of having to search for each of those items, I can just click on the meal. You can title it whatever you want. I call it salmon patty lunch, and it pops into your lunch. Okay. Same thing for my breakfast. That saves a lot of time, especially if you are eating something that you like, and it's pretty quick to create the meal, right? You're already logging it in there. So you just create a meal, and then that way it's there for you. That saves time. The other thing that improves accuracy is creating recipes. So I'm a mom. I cook for my family, and there's a lot of things that we kind of cook repetitively. Like I probably cycle through the same 10 to 15 recipes over and over again, right? Because my kids like it, we like it. You know, I do try new things fairly frequently, but we have our staples. And I think a lot of people do. And so you can create a recipe for that. So that does take a little bit more time the first time, but then it's in there. And each time you make, you know, for example, for me, crock pot taco soup, boom, it's in there. You can even include in the title how many servings, like what your measurement serving is. So what I'll do, for example, for the crock pot taco soup, I'll say, at the end of the title, one cup servings. So that way I remember what my serving size was. And then that's it. And then next time you have that, it's there and ready for you. That saves a ton of time. It does take work and it does take commitment and consistency. But if you, like I talked about in the last episode, if you really want to fine tune some things and you really want to have a gauge on your protein and hitting those protein goals and making sure that your diet is balanced in a way that helps your training, then it really is a great option. So I hope that you enjoyed this series on calorie tracking. And your action item for this week, if you are tracking your calories, is to work on doing it accurately. Okay, so if you're not measuring things out, or if you are an eyeballer, work on starting to measure some things out. And if you don't have a food scale, go ahead and get one. They're super inexpensive and they help a lot. I hope you enjoyed this, and I will talk to you next time. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe, and it would make my day to see a 5-star written review from you. Leaving a written review helps other women find this podcast so they can start to get results too. Let's help other women start their fitness journey together.